Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so grateful that you would join us today. We know that God has an awesome work for you. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and get into our announcement. We're going to turn it over to Prophetess Crystal so that she can give us our announcement. Prophetess.
Good morning, everyone. And once again, welcome to the broadcast Kingdom Lifestyle. Just want to let you know this morning, in the way of announcements, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for my husband's broadcast, Kingdom Lifestyle. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join yours truly for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. As many of you may already know, that is also our website. We have done some moderations to our website, so we ask that you would visit us again. And as you're doing that, pray about becoming a vision and prayer partner with this ministry. Amen. We definitely need your prayers, as well as your financial support to continue spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We also, people of God, have a Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny. You can locate us there on Facebook, like our pages. Please, if you would like, leave your name, put your prayer request as well as prayer reports. We would love to hear from you. Amen. And those are the announcements for this morning. But the biggest announcement I want to speak about is my women's conference that's being hosted this year, October 18th and 19th, 2013, at the Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, located at 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. This year's theme, Don't Abort Your Assignment. And we're coming out of the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, 17 through 20. I invite you personally to come to my conference. It's going to be a powerful time in the Lord. We're looking for powerful praise, worship, teaching, preaching, fellowship. Amen. We are just expecting God to do great and exceedingly above all that we can ever ask or think. On Friday night, we have First Lady Fabia Saunders. We have yours truly. We have Apostle Christopher McQueen. We even have Mother Willie Mae Butts and more. Again, I invite you for October 18th and 19th. Clear your calendars. You got time now, 2013. Women, a Prophetic Destiny Conference. Don't abort your assignment. Being held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida. If you go to our website, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny, you can see all the information there. Thank you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Now let us pray. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we thank you, glorify you, we magnify you, we worship you in all that you do. Lord, as we, your people, come in this place, God, we just magnify and we lift your name on high. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding. God, we thank you for your patience. Lord, as we come before you, we humble ourselves at your feet. We ask for the blood of Jesus right now to cover and wash us from all our sins. Cleanse us from all our iniquity and unrighteousness, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you will purify our minds, our hearts, our spirits. God, we ask that you will purify our souls, our eyes, our hands, the five gates. Father, we ask that you will purify now in Jesus' name by the blood of Jesus. Father, we as we come and ask, we invite your presence in this place. Father, we ask that as you crown the pastor's head, the apostle's head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, God, that he will come forth in your power, that he will come forth in your strength, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us not see him, but let us see the Christ in him as he delivers your word to your people. And we, your people, shall receive your word and say amen. And not only that, but we will do what you have asked us to do. I'm asking, Father, in Jesus' name, though your people that you have been shaking and shifting, God, those that you have assigned to this broadcast, those that you have assigned to hear our voices, Father, I'm asking that you would just begin to move in their life miraculously with power and might. Let them bring glory unto you in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking that you would take out their will, take out our will, and put your will in place of it. It's time to do what you called us to do. It's time for us to manifest your glory within the earth. You said in your word that your will or your food was to do the will of the one that sent you and to complete his word. Father, we speak that word. We decree and declare that word over our lives and in our lives in the name of Jesus. Now, God, as we just begin to worship you and magnify you, we ask that you would lead us throughout the day, that as this word goes forth this morning, Father, that it will not leave our minds, that it will constantly stay with us so that we may meditate on it in the day season and the night season. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for that awesome prayer. We know that God is really doing something in the lives of his people. Listen, just in a way of shoring up the announcement, I want you to put on your calendar that October 18th and 19th. We started doing some rehearsals yesterday with those who will be ministering, the band members, the singers, and I want you to know that you are going to be in for a treat. This is one that you will not want to miss. I thank God that even after the rehearsal, I had time to talk with some of the musicians, and we began to share back and forth and talk about what God was revealing to them and what God is revealing to us. And I want you to know that this is something that is needed in the body, and that is clarity and really a reformation of what the role is of the psalmist. Who is the psalmist? It's those who come to minister before God in song and in music. And as we begin to take that apart into their different, parts, take apart the nomenclature of a psalmist, then you begin to see how your specific praise and your training and your talent comes into alignment with the divine will of God. There are things that have to be done a certain way, and God has already given it to us to do it, but we have to get back to the foundation of what it is. So as we begin to look at that, we begin to find that there are some things that we have to come back around to and deal with. And we're really going to be getting into that as we go forward, knowing that God has given it to us as an assignment. But I want us to really focus on the word, the work that God has called us to. This is going to be exciting, this Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference, and you'll see the seeds of the labor that has been put into making sure that this is just not another conference, but it is indeed an experience. And I don't know about you, I've been to enough conferences, I'm about conferenced out, but I know an experience from God, and you know, a godly experience is something to travel, is something to make your way to. And I'm telling you that we're fasting, we're praying, we're putting the time in, seeking God's face, so that we're not giving you regurgitated words, but this word will come forth with power and it will produce life. We're asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us directly and give us rhema word for the conference. So we know that the Lord is doing so. And I'm excited at the guest list that's already coming. I mean, we got people in other states that are looking at coming this way, and you want to be a part of it. You say, Apostle, I don't live in Central Florida. And my response to that is, listen, if you want to come this way, let us know, and we'll let you know what hotels are around here. You know, I've gone out of town and found hotels that people said, well, I know there's a hotel over here, but no one checked it out to see if they would want to lay their head there. Amen. And we're going to take the time and go over and look to make sure that the hotels that we recommend to you are hotels that we would stay at if we were traveling abroad. So you really want to go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There, learn more about us, be a vision partner with this. But go to that WOPD page and click on one of the links. It'll take you over to another website, WOPD website, and there you'll see registration. Fill out that registration and send it in. Let us know that you want to come, and we'll go ahead and make sure that we're setting everything up for you. Amen. Now, with that said, let me get into this word. Thank you, Lord. We're looking at what God is saying to his people and where we're supposed to be. How are we supposed to be acting? You know, and I think this is where I left off on Tuesday, dealing with the behavior of a Christian. What is the behavior pattern of a Christian? And I think that we have a lot of people out saying that they're Christians, but when you look at the behavior, you find that the behavior does not mirror those who belong to the household of faith. They don't belong to the family of God because they respond like the world, and we're not told to respond like the world. What difference is it if you become saved if all of your activity and behavior is of those who are not saved at all? Amen. So people are looking for not just the saved part of it, but they're looking for those who will demonstrate within their character and within their being that they are part of the beloved. Amen. And that's where we have to take a different road, amen, than what the world does. The world tells people off and cusses them out and tries to do all kind of other things when they get upset. But as Christians, that's not our lot. Let's go back here into Romans, the 12th chapter. And when we begin to look at this, we'll begin to see what the Apostle Paul is speaking here. He said, starting at the ninth verse, Romans 12:9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, amen, and honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence. And that right there, wow. I mean, when I was studying this, it begins to really hit, you know, a couple of key areas that we see in church today. People who are supposed to be in leadership or serving will give you what they feel, you know, here, take that. You're lucky I gave it to you. Well, that doesn't really demonstrate the character of a Christian. Amen. And it doesn't, it's not the characteristic of someone who is serving or doing in diligence. Amen. So it says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. That means that, you know, you went into it, God is going to bring you out of it. I don't see a place where God took them in not to bring them out. Amen. If they went in, they went in because of something. And when they came out, he brought them out at the appointed time. Amen. But they knew exactly what it was that God was dealing with. Amen. Mm-hmm. So when you're going into something, God has talked to you about your attitude. He's talked to you about your pride. He's talked to you about several different things. And in your process, as you're going through your process, God begins to deal with those different things. Amen. And as he deals with them, be patient in that tribulation. Amen. That is something that is left there, or something that is done that keeps you from becoming big-headed. Amen. God uses that as something that will buffer you and keep you from becoming greater in your own eyes than you need to be. Amen. So patient in tribulation, continually, steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And if I just back up one, distributing to the needs of the saints, it is a shame today that there are so many well-to-do saints and Christians that look down and misuse those who are coming in who don't have the same means that they have. So, you know, you, well, the Lord allowed me to have, but you watch people around you, you make them beg and grovel, you know, come to you in order for them to get a little help. Well, the Bible says here, distributing to the needs of the saints. That means that not only does the church have a benevolence fund, and most churches' benevolence fund can't help past $50 to $100. What happens when someone comes in with a genuine need and is plus that amount? Did y'all go to the church? Wait a minute, stop. Did God bless you? Okay, same tone of voice, different question. The answer needs to respond to the need. Amen? So people shouldn't be running after you trying to get help when you clearly see them struggling and in need. I'm not talking about people who get your resources and go off drinking, smoking, getting high, and all the rest of that, you know, buying themselves stuff and going shopping spree. I'm talking about when you clearly see that the light company is outside in front of them and it says, listen, if I don't get X amount of dollars, we're going to cut you right now. And you sitting there talking about, oh, that's a shame. You know what's a shame? You sitting there having the means and allowing that to happen and saying that you're part of the body of Christ. Amen? Now, I'm not saying you ride around with money in your pocket following the truck to see wherever it stops. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you have a genuine need, a brother or sister, amen, and you sit back and let it happen and then talk about it and then talk about I love you, that's not love. You see that? Amen. Let's move on here. Given to hospitality. Now, the reason why a lot of people don't have a problem allowing that to happen because somebody has said something, did something, and they just see that's God getting you back. That's not God getting them back. Amen. When God does something, he does stuff in order. He does things in order. God is not a God who has a grudge. Amen. He's not a God who remembers what you did last summer at the church picnic. He's not the God that remembers that you made the chicken when you knew I was going to make the chicken. And everybody's talking about your chicken, but they only talked about it because I had already put the spices and stuff. Wait a minute, stop. All of that stuff right there has nothing to do with serving in the body of Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. So when you get upset and you see things happen to people, sometimes we try to qualify it based on human characteristics when we need to see it and understand it through God's eyes. Amen. And his characteristics means that when I see it, I have compassion and I go to see about the hurt. I go to alleviate the pain. The Bible says that the strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. So if you perceive them to be weaker than you and you're allowing them to go through things, then you're not fulfilling what the scripture says. Because if you perceive yourself to be stronger and you don't help bear their infirmity, you see that? Then you actually are the weaker. And God will make sure that they go through in front of you. You'll see them coming out with the blessing that you could have shared in had you taken a little time and had some compassion with them. Amen. So here it is, 14 verse, Romans 12:14. It says, bless those who persecute you. Amen. Bless and do not curse. And I think it's interesting that the Apostle Paul says it twice. He says, bless those who persecute you. You see that? Huh? And then he goes on to say it again, bless and do not curse. Just in case you misinterpreted what I was saying, let me clarify it. Bless and do not curse. See, when we begin to deal with this, we have to understand that if we are like-minded, amen, then we have the same understanding when it comes down to what Jesus would do. The famous or the popularized saying, what would Jesus do back in the day, has to come back into play, because we as his children have to understand that as his servants, amen, huh? As those who bear his name, amen, we have to demonstrate the character of Christ in the earth. It is our responsibility to demonstrate that character, amen? Mm-hmm. And if we're going to demonstrate that character, we're not going to demonstrate that character showing our flesh and saying his name. We have to learn how to demonstrate his character while proclaiming his name. Amen? Huh? So let's look at this. Let's look at this a little bit. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Amen? That means that when Jesus saw them, and you've heard me say this before, Jesus saw them and knew every one of their flaws, shortcomings. He knew their sins. He knew everything about them, because he wasn't a God in time. He was a God outside of time who came in time to occupy the body or the flesh as an offering that he would give up over at the cross during his passion. Amen. And as he was here, he still knew everything that was coming and everything that was going to happen afterwards. Amen. So we have to understand that he was fully God at all times, but he was fully man at the same time. Amen. That qualifies him to come in under the law to free us who were bound by the law through the blood of Jesus. You see that? So if he had been fully God, then his blood would not satisfy sin's price. So he had to be fully man as well, so that as his blood was shed, it would satisfy the requirement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Amen? So when he began to look at the multitude, he saw all of their shortcomings. He saw their flaws. He saw the tribulations. He saw their iniquity. He saw the sin. He saw all of that. He knew the family background. He knew everything that was going on with them. He knew their psychological profiles and makeups. And yet and still, the Bible said that he had compassion on them, and the Bible testified that he healed them all. So we are out of place and out of line when we begin to look at people and judge whether or not they should be healed, delivered, set free, saved. You see that? When people are doing things, sometimes they're doing it because they're tormented on the inside, so they respond tormentedly. Amen. We said it before and we'll say it again. Hurt people hurt people. Amen. So when someone's hurt, then even though their intent is good, they'll still end up hurting someone. You see that? So we have to learn how to see them love them regardless, and still deal with the sin issue. There is a settlement for that sin issue. Amen? So when he says, bless and do not persecute, he knows that even though the person may have said, they may have done something that was out of your character or out of your liking, he knows also that this is a soul that is hurting. He knows this is a soul that is in need of saving. He knows that this is a soul that needs some deliverance. He knows that this is a soul that needs to be ministered to. Amen. So as we look at all of this, then we understand that Jesus was not looking at them and judging them based on what they've done. He was dealing with them and ministering to them based on what his call was for their life. He had a plan for them. Amen? And I want you to know that God has a plan for you. You see that? So as God has a plan for you, then you have to understand something, and that is that as God is going forward and dealing with you, that even though you mess up, even though you go against the grain, even though you fail to step up and do what he called you to do, you see this? So he still loves you and had a plan for you. So when he tells people not to curse you, what he's saying is, listen, bless them because I have already blessed them. We have to go back to Ephesians, the first chapter, and regurgitate this back out so that you can receive it again, which is simply that he did all of this before the foundations of the world. We were predestined to this. You understand? So when he said bless, he had already blessed you before the foundations of the world. Even though your ugly behavior, your unregenerated self led you into the place where we see you today, he's already blessed you. And when you come to the full understanding of what the blessing is, then you begin to mature and develop and walk towards your destiny. And as you get closer to it, more of your predetermined, predestined blessing, huh, becomes available to you to enjoy. You see that? I was sharing yesterday with some people, and I said, listen, you have to understand that the Bible says that God, the Father, has given us all things, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So the Father has given that to us, all spiritual blessings. That means that you're not going to get any new blessing. But as you mature, as you develop, you qualify for more access to the blessing that is already yours. Mm-hmm. You see that? As a child, there may be stuff that was yours, but you couldn't get it until you got older and knew how to handle it properly. You see that? And as you knew how to handle it properly, then what was yours was released to you because it was yours already. Amen? Mm-hmm. You matured into knowing how to handle it. Amen? So as we begin to look at this, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, be of the same mind towards one another. When you get your mind and everything set on the things of God, when you understand that, then when you see some sin, then you don't attack the sinner, you attack the sin. Amen? Let me just say this right here. There's a friend of ours who posted something in social media, and I just went to look for it because I wanted to say it directly as it was quoted. He said, I was asked, and this is Elder John Polk. He said, I was asked, what would I say to a homosexual who wanted to come to my church? I responded that I would tell them to come right on in. We embrace liars, thieves, adulterers, fornicators, drunkards, drug users, even homosexuals. We do not and will not embrace sin, though, no matter which one it is and no matter who is doing it. And I appreciate that from him. We don't plagiarize, so he got to get that credit himself. I would have said it, but he said it first. And that is my whole thing. We allow people to come in to the body of Christ. And the thing is that we accept all who come, and we challenge you when you get here. You understand? No one came to Christ and stayed the same.
And you can't come to Christ today and stay the same. There has to be some maturing. There has to be some developing. So how do we get to a like mind? We begin to lose our worldly consciousness. What is worldly consciousness? Responding to everything in a perception and in a responsive way as the world would have responded to it. What does it say here? It says, be of the same mind towards one another. In other words, I have to think properly of you as God thinks of you. Well, let's back this up some. Amen. Romans 15 and 5. It says, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. That means that when I see you, I have to see you as Christ sees you. And I want you to know, if you were valuable enough for him to predestine your existence and give you an assignment for this time, then you are valuable enough for him to go to the cross to redeem you, then you are valuable enough today for me to put up with you a little bit while you're going through your development. Amen, somebody. Huh? Because as I afford that to you, you can afford that back to me. I'm not perfect, but I am working out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that I have a God to serve, a God to glorify. Huh? Mm-hmm. That's the assignment he's given me, and I have to be prepared for it. I was sharing yesterday while I was talking to these young men, and I said, listen, when you go different places, you have a job. And sometimes when you go to your job, they tell you you're not coming here. You're going over to a training facility. So for the time that you would be in your job, you actually go to training. We call it in-service training because while you're serving and doing your job, you're actually dealing with training. While you're doing that in-service training, you're getting paid your regular pay, but you're learning something that will help you as you go back to your regular training. Amen? So as you're going back to your regular training, you have learned something. And the same thing here. While we're learning how to do what God called us to do, sometimes we have to deal with some in-service training. That means you're still showing up like God told you to. Amen? You're still doing what God told you to do. Amen? Huh? And while you're doing what God told you to do, you know, he's helping you to mature, to develop. As I said, these are things that we have to learn. We have to take into account that God loved us so much, amen, that he put us through process to help us go forward, amen. And when we are of the same mind, it is because we are all growing in the knowledge, in the fullness of his son, Jesus, amen. God makes sure that we learn what Jesus learned, what he did, we know to do. What his character is, we learn how to manifest and demonstrate in creation. You see that? Mm-hmm. So it says it very clearly here. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another. How? According to Christ. You see that? Isn't it wonderful that God thought enough of us to give us a template that we can follow?
Right.
Huh? You see that? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13 and 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Now, isn't it interesting? He said before this. He said, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded. And then here he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. And I think you see that become complete, period. If we take that sentence, we can preach a series off of that becoming complete. Because the problem that a lot of people have is that they're broken in certain areas, but they won't allow themselves to be healed in those areas. Because people like to have the victim mentality where people will come and pat them on the back. They like people patting them on the back. So they foster something that will keep people patting them on the back. Listen, I love the fact that people come and pat me on my back, but I like you to pat me on my back for a job well done, and not because I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Amen? You know, bless his heart. Don't bless my heart. Ooh, you did good. I like that better. Amen? Mm-hmm. So that means that if there's an area of my life, first of all, you have to understand that the spirit of truth is not going to allow that falsehood to reside in the temple. You are the temple of the Most High God. Amen? Whose temple you are. Being said, then when God comes to deal with you, if there's any insecurity, if there's any flaw, if there's any shortcoming, then he's going to address that so that as you begin to come before him, you can come before him whole. The strength of a Christian is not that we're perfect, but that the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us is perfecting us. Amen. And that word perfecting, when we look at it in the Greek, really deals with maturity, that you may grow in all things. That you may become complete in all things. You see that? Yeah. As we become perfect, we become mature in certain areas of our life that help us to understand how we need to walk and how we walk in accordance to the call that God has placed upon us. Amen? So it says, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Back to that comfort again. Amen? Be of one mind, you see that? Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Why is it important for us to be of one mind, one understanding? Why is it important for us to be in the image and the character of Christ? Because God has then tied himself to the word that he will be with us, and there's nothing that will separate us from him when we're walking after his call and election. That means that no matter what you're going through, you can go through it knowing that God has your back. Amen? Amen. Oh, I could shout off of that right there. Amen? See, this is the whole thing. As we begin to look here, we begin to see something. He begins to talk about patience. You see that word? He begins to talk about comfort. He begins to talk about peace. You see that? You see that? Huh? Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. So we have done so much, so many times. We have done so much, and we're trying to get people to see us and to understand us. And we've back in the day when I was coming up, when someone needed prayer, they came to the altar. We prayed with them. We watched the Spirit of God come in and touch them and then work a work in their life. Amen. And as he worked the work, we saw the response to the work. Amen. No one took credit for it. We just thank God for showing up and doing it again. Amen. Nowadays, people have problems in their life, and instead of coming to the altar for prayer, they set up meetings with the pastor. They set up and they go in for counseling, and they sit down and they talk about it, and he sets up different things where they come back and forth and look at this and look at it in this angle and look at that. Listen, back in the day, as I was saying, if there was something that was demonically oppressing, or if there was any type of other thing going on in your life, we did what the Bible did. Amen. We don't see where Jesus saw that the demoniac boy who seemed to have seizures and all that, where he came in and tried to figure out, well, how long has this been happening? He asked the question, but he didn't dwell there. We didn't see him going back to, tell me about your mother. Mm-hmm. Well, how's your relationship with your father? Well, did you really like your brothers and sisters? Stop. He dealt with the fact, how long has this been going on since this you? Then he began to deal with the issue and command it and cast out a demon. At that point, the demon rent the boy and then departed from him. And from that day forth, after Jesus presented him back to his father, we don't hear about that boy being demon-possessed, afflicted, or influenced. See, all of this stuff that we're doing now, calling it Christianity, is really a shadow of it, because people, I'm telling you this, when we get back to the power of the name of Jesus, we'll start casting out devils again. Instead of patty caking with them, instead of counseling with them, you don't counsel with sin. You deal with sin. Amen. And as I said before, any sinner can come. But after you come, we're going to challenge you to mature and to develop. Amen. That means come in with your stinky life and allow the blood of Jesus to wash over you and take the filth and the stench away from you. And as that happens, now you learn how to be clothed in righteousness. Now you learn how to walk in holiness and righteousness. You learn how to walk justified, not because you did it, but because he did it for you. You understand? Because you're not special to do it yourself. If you were that special, you would be the Christ. No, he did it for you. Now receive it and walk according to it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Look at what it says here. It says Romans 12, here we are, 16 verse, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And I really wish I could preach this from many pulpits right now, because we have made a mockery of this, trying to be greater and bigger than the next. Amen. And we have forgotten that we're supposed to be covering sheep. Yeah. Sheep then become those who are sowing into us so that we can look greater and bigger than the next. And guess what? God isn't pleased with none of that. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be dealing with the kingdom expansion, kingdom assignments that he's given us. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every. Not the ones that can afford you, not the ones that's just going to put you up in your 4 or 5-star hotels, give you your big honorarium, celebrate you in front of all their friends, run you through the circuit. No, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. He even says here in the 17th verse, Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They yeah. shall cast out devils. Yeah. You see that? He goes on to say, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, we're doing everything but that. A demon-possessed person comes into a church now before he can get to the pastor so he can lay his hands on them and cast it out. The armor bearers have already grabbed the person up, have them hog-tied on the altar and escort them out the building, talking about you're not going to disrupt the service. Pardon me, you just disrupted the service because that was a soul that needed deliverance. And if you don't have the goods, get out the pulpit. Hello, somebody. I know this ain't popular because it's not stroking your ego. I'm not here to stroke your ego. I'm here to shake some sense into you because the devil is making us a reproach in the kingdom. How can we stand up and say we have the power of God when the power of God demonstrated? You have to go back to Matthew, the 10th chapter, and look at what was being done, what was being said. Amen. You see that he gave them the ability to cast out devils and to heal all manners of sickness and disease. And today there's no healing going on in the church, but we can take a good offering. There's no devils being cast out, but we got armor bearers that can throw them out the building. So the world stays sick. It stays bound. It stays oppressed because the church that should have the power to deliver them cannot demonstrate the power of the kingdom because we're trying to demonstrate the power of my wealth, the power of my material gain and growth. See, we got to get past all of that, back to the power. Notice Jesus told them, don't take out an extra staff, don't take an extra cloak with you, don't take an extra pair of sandals, don't take your money belts or anything else, but go out and do this. Do the work, and I'm going to take care of you. When they came back, Jesus asked them, he said, while you were out, did you lack anything? And they said, no, Lord, nothing. See, we have left that trusting in God to making sure my contract is set right. I got, you know, if you're going to come to me, I got to send you my contract that needs to be signed. I need half of my honorarium up front. You need to have all my tickets. No, I don't fly business or coach. I need to be up first class. You know, in my hotel, I need somebody at my disposal when I land, and they need to be there if I need to go to the store. If I want to run over to the drugstore just so I can get some deodorant, they need to be getting that for me and whatever kind I want. And then I need to eat. And I don't don't eat at the regular restaurants, so I need to eat at all your posh, you know, five-star restaurants as well. So you listen, all of that, after you've done that, then you come and give the same regurgitated word that we saw you give on TV or on somebody else's broadcast. In other words, I just paid you to come in here and do what you've already done. But there's no revelation. There is no rhema word coming.
Yeah.
And most of the time, there's no logos going forth either. See, all of this is what the world is looking at when it comes to the church. And God is calling us back to the assignment. You'll hear me say this over and over again, because they're looking for something different. Young people are coming up now looking for the proof of what you're saying. Don't tell me that God can heal. Don't tell me that God can deliver and there's no healing and there's no deliverance. So they're going to all kind of other things to find that, because we can't demonstrate it. Let me back that up. We haven't demonstrated that in the church. And God is calling us back to the assignment. Huh? See, when you come back in and God leads you to a true shepherd, amen, you'll hear it at the end of this broadcast. And I said, Lord, if for those who have prayed this prayer, please lead them to a Bible teaching and a Bible-believing church that they may be developed and matured. When you're going to a place where you're not being developed and you're not being matured, then you're frustrated. Thank you, prophetess. You're frustrated with your Christian experience, because what you're looking for, you can't find. You see that? You're trying to find something that will answer questions or give you directions on which way to go. You see that? But you're not finding that. And when you don't find that, then you feel there's no hope for you. So when you have a shortcoming, you feel now that if they couldn't, if there's no answer, I got to go seek my own answer. I want you to know today, and I'll put it on record, that Jesus is still the answer today and tomorrow. See, now when you get to a place where you can be, when true deliverance comes, when true redemption happens, then you'll find that how the enemy has blinded your eyes to perceive a thing. Amen. The Spirit of God brings truth and clarity. Now you can see it. Now you can walk according to the precepts of God. And I'm going to say this, never go to church for people. Always go to church for him. You go to church not religiously. You go to church relationally. Your relation, even though you are set under a shepherd, is not necessarily just with the shepherd. It's always with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeking to please the Father. Amen? And when you do that, then you'll see people in their flaw, and you'll pray for them even as you're developing your relationship with God. So your relationship is more important than anything else. So listen, let's get back to this here. It says, be of the mind, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. That's why we have a hard time ministering out in the streets, because that humiliates me too much with my high-minded self. Listen, drop that mindset, get out there and minister. If you can't minister to somebody at the store, minister to them at the gas pump, don't think that when you come up in the church with all your bling bling and your designer, everything on, that you're going to have articulate words that's going to have an impact, because you just left where your word was most needed. Amen. People who come to church know what they're going to get when they come to church. But people on the street looking for help, and the Holy Spirit say, just tell them God bless you. They say, I don't know nothing about God. Well, why don't you know nothing about God? I just seen some stuff in my life. Well, listen, I don't know what happened, but can I pray with you? I serve the Lord, and I know that people can be a trip, but I know that God has always been true. And then we minister to them. They say, you know, this is not like what I had before. Where are you at? Now they can follow you to church, where before you were just trying to get to church so people could see you. You can actually deal with the people where they need you. Case in point, Jesus went into the synagogue to debate, but he went out amongst the multitude to do miracles, signs, and wonders. The Sermon on the Mount was not done in the synagogue. It was done on a hillside with the multitude around him. Where are you most effective in your ministry? Is it necessarily behind the pulpit where you have all of your comforts with you? Or is it out where your faith has to stand up and provide a standard for you? It should be where your faith stands up. Because if your word isn't backed by the faith that you speak, then your word is not integral and good know-how. Amen? Huh. So do not be wise. Let's continue on. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Well, in my opinion, you know, we went to a Bible study with someone, and all while we talked to them, we said, well, no, the word said blah, blah, blah. And here it says, and we go over here, it validates that. And over here, it even says this, which coincides with that word. So that's not correct, you know, what you just saw, you know, or what you said. This is what the word really said. And they said, well, you know, I feel the word said here. So, you know, when you are trying to be wise in your own opinion, you won't get the proper word. Worse than that, you'll misappropriate the application of that word. Because if it's not in truth, it can't produce truth. Amen? If it's not in righteousness, it can't produce righteousness. If the word comes to challenge you and to chastise you to bring you into order and you refute the word, then how can you come into order? You see? How can you get it right if you refute the thing that corrects you on the way? Huh? The Bible lets us know, despise not the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. This word isn't always going to come and pat you on your head and tell you how wonderful you are. This word should challenge you, amen, to become better than you ever was. You see that? How do we know that you are changed? Because you can do what it says from the 14th verse down to this point when we deal with the 17th verse. We pay no one evil for evil.
Woo-hoo.
Right.
You see that? See, in life, if someone do you wrong, you know what they did me? I'm going to get them back. Stop. Christianity, somebody do you wrong, 14th verse. Bless those who persecute you. Again, clarifying that, bless and do not curse. You see that? So the thing that we're trying to do then, we're trying to show them, huh? We're trying to show them that this is the way to do it. 17th verse, we pay no one evil for evil. In other words, even though they did you wrong, don't try to go back doing people wrong. Do you know the problem with repaying people evil is that you have to go to evil to get evil, greater evil, to repay them of the evil they done. Because you can't repay them the same amount. Whatever they did, you have to turn around and give them greater than what you got in order for you to feel satisfaction that they did, that you got them back. Amen? And most of the time, you end up succumbing to the same thing that you're trying to do. You heard it said, if you use a sword, you die by a sword. See, all of those things are true. And we tear ourselves open trying to demonstrate that we have the character of Christ when we're still trying to operate in world systems. You see that? So when we look at this, it says, have regard, 17th verse, 12, 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in sight of all men. In other words, when people see them do you wrong and you don't do evil against them, then people look at you and say, you know what, I couldn't do it, but I got mad respect for you. I saw what happened, man. I got respect for you because I don't know if I could have did that. He said, you know what, it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the Christ on the inside of me. So when you say that, what you're doing is they're looking at you seeing a result or response that didn't fit what they thought you should have did, but what you said gave them clarity concerning how Christ deals with us. See, as many times as he should have dealt with us for what we did, he didn't. But he extended his arms, he extended his hands, he allowed the blood to flow. The efficacious properties of the blood came and applied to our sin again, and it still worked. It cleansed us again. You see that? So when people are doing evil and things and they're not doing right, then we can still go get it right and help them so that they can get themselves together. You see this? If it is possible, 18 verse, as much as depends on you. live peaceably with all men. That means if it's going, and it's going crazy, you see this? Make sure it's not your fault that it went sideways.
True that.
You see that? If it is possible, there's some people who will find and try to find every which way to make sure they can tear up everything. And you come to get it right, and you come bearing gifts and olive leaves and everything else, and they still try to find a way. The Bible says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you. Qualifier, as much as it depends on you. Now, if it is possible, live peaceably with all men. Who, I just don't know. I just can't. Wait a minute. As it depends on you. Are you extending the love of Christ? You see that? If you are extending the love of Christ to them and demonstrating that, and they refuse the love of Christ, then you have done what you need to do. But still, repay no one evil for evil, and bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse.
That's it.
So, you know, we got the power to bless, and we have the ability to curse. But I don't see any instruction, even though we have the ability to curse, where we should be applying a curse. Ooh, I see what you did. Now I got to curse you from... Stop. Are you a child of God? How did a curse come out your mouth when we are predestined to bless? Help us, Jesus. We got to get back to what he's called us to do. You know what's interesting here? Reading this in the 14th verse, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. 17th verse, repay no one evil for evil. 18th verse, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. But look at this 19th verse. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repair. I will repay. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, you see that? Give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Brothers and sisters, this has blessed me greatly. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This has blessed me. Coming up in my life, there are some times and some situations that I had to go through. And even when I wanted to raise my voice and say something and stand up and hit my chest and, it was scriptures like this that brought me back to the compassion of Christ. The reality is that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody was perfect, and nobody is perfect. When we begin to deal with people according to what we feel they should be doing, what we feel should be right, we have to take into account that we have flaws in ourselves. I have the analogy of the glasses that you put on that distort the image of what you see. And everyone who has gone to an optometrist has had to get a different prescription from the next person. You understand? So even though in your eyesight it may be clear, that same perception as somebody else may be distorted. With that understanding, we need to address everyone according to the truth of God's love for us. And that is, in our shortcomings, he loved us. Even in our sins, he provided for us a way of escape. There is a sacrifice that has been made for our sins and for our lives. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He shed his blood for our sins. And through that blood, we have the ability to say, our Father, because it is that blood that welcomes us into the family of God. Brothers and sisters, we got to get back to the assignment that God called us to and do what God called us to do. Maybe you have not accepted the call to the family of God. You have not given the Lord your life. Pray this prayer with me, if you will. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church where they can be matured and developed and go on to fulfill their kingdom assignments that you predestined for them in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray for miracles, signs, and wonders. I pray for doors for ministry to be opened. I pray for families to be restored, relationships to be brought back together. Whatever you have separated, Lord, separate it from us for good, for our good, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for all these things. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Listen. Go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll find out more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Drop us a testimonial or give us a prayer request so that we can stand with you in prayer, knowing that God will answer his prayer in Jesus' name, we pray. We thank you for this, and we bless the name of the Lord. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it is God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord, and we look forward to seeing you again.